are listening to BensTorah.com.
Many, many years ago, in the 60s when I was growing up, before you guys were born, there was this concept, this show, I don't know if it's still around now, called Star Trek. And basically we all know Captain Kirk, he's on Priceline.com all the time, or maybe they got rid of him because there's no more Priceline.com. But the concept was you had this gigantic spaceship, I believe the name was the Enterprise, and they had thousands upon thousands of people on a multiple area of decks, and everybody had to work together in harmony in order if any aliens wanted to go and attack them, that they should be able to put their force fields up and shoot their photons and all sorts of fun stuff. But basically, there was one person in charge of this entire ship, and his command was absolute, and if he was a good captain, then the ship would be able to go on to the next adventure next week. If not, that would be the end of the show. What does this have to do with Judaism? Well, basically, we have some very difficult psukim in Devarim. In the beginning of Devarim, Rashi points out that the whole part of the beginning of Devarim is referring to tochacha, rebuke and chastisement against the Jewish people. So therefore, we have to understand all the things that it's talking about. How does that fit into that general theme? So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says that he comes along and he said that Hashem has multiplied you tremendously, Laroiv, and Hashem should bless you even more so. And then he says, how can I, he says, during this time, I said, Lo chal levadi seisachem, I can't come along and carry you. I can't come along and judge you. It's just too much for me. And he says, how could I go and deal with your tarchachem, all your toils and tribulations, masachem, all the tumult, verivchem, all the quarrels that are happening? I can't deal with that. We have to go and get people to be sub-judges underneath me, and that's where we got the Sarei Alafim, the officers of the thousand, the officers of the hundred, the officers of the ten, etc., etc. Well, we have to understand, it wasn't Moshe's idea. It was, if you look in the Parsha, by Yisroi, whose idea was it to go and have all these officers? It was Yisroi's idea. Moshe, it seems, and from the Gemara also, it's Mashon Shabbos, he was very happy being the sole leader of Bnei Yisrael. And all of a sudden, Yisro came along and he said, Moshe, you can't do this. You can't lead the people alone. It's going to cause a lot of problems. They're not going to be able to stand up to all the pressure, and you won't be able to stand up to all the pressure. So we have a contradiction. In Yisro, he comes along and says that Yisro was the one who suggested this whole idea of sub-leaders. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be saying that he was the one. And when did Moshe start saying, it's too much for you, I can't take it, you're tarchachem, masechem? When did he do that? That was only later on. That was later on when we were talking about the problems with the slav, and Israel wanted the basar, and Moshe said, I can't take it anymore. He didn't say that at this point in time. What exactly is going on here? And to understand it further, right afterwards, right after this parsha that Moshe talks about creating these sub-leaders, it says they went from Chorev, and then they came to Kadesh Barnea, and you talk about the whole concept of Meraglim. The whole parsha, but this is not chronological order. The Meraglim came much later. There were a whole bunch of things in between. There was the Asafsu, and there were different problems that Bnei Yisrael were facing. Why does Moshe go directly into the Meraglim? What is the connection of the Meraglim to the Shoftim? And also, he comes along and he says, the Musar, he says, V'tikrivun alai kulchem, all of you came together and to ask for the spies. And he says, Rashi says, V'ravuvya. There wasn't any order. It wasn't done in a proper way where you had the leaders come, the sub-leaders, and then everybody, then the head of the Shvatim. Everybody came in one big commotion to demand that spies go in. And then he says, fine, I sent the spies, and they came back, they took from the Pre-Aretz, and they came and said, the land is good. The land is good. And then all of you started complaining in your tents. The spies came back saying, the land is good. And then he started complaining in your tents. Well, Moshe, you're not telling the whole story. It's true they came along and said, the land is good. But they also said, there are big people there. They're going to destroy us. They're going to wipe us out. What in the world? Moshe's just like editing the story to fit his own purpose. He's not telling the truth. He's not saying what the Meraglim said. It sounds like Bnei Israel were really evil. The spies came back and said, the land is great. Everything's fantastic. And you complain. What kind of rotten people are you? That's not what happened. The spies came back. They said the land was good. But they also said there are big people there. And there are things going on. Now, exactly, all these contradictions. There are tremendous contradictions from Dvarim to what really went on. So what is happening? So here we're going to see something unbelievable. What is leadership? What is the concept of leadership? Why was Moshe destined to be such a great leader? When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, everybody was afraid of him. They were afraid to go near him. Why were they afraid to go near Moshe? Ki karen or panav. His face lit up. His face was alight. It was like fire. His face was full of light. And Bnei Israel were just petrified to go near him. It was not normal. And what happened was, he used to walk around with a mask all the time, so people wouldn't see this light coming out of his face. And this is where Michelangelo gets his horns. Why did they think Jews have horns? If you go to the mid-belt, where nobody in America, where nobody ever saw a Jew before, non-Jews think Jews have horns. Why in the world do they think a Jew has a horn? They get it from Michelangelo and the contemporary Renaissance artists who translated carne or, horns of light, literally two horns of light. You see all these pictures of two light beams coming out of the head. And that's how they define carne hoy, carne or. But it wasn't true. Moshe's whole face shined. Now, when he talked to Bnei Israel, he took off the mask and everybody saw his face. Where did those carne hod come from? Where did it come from? So it says in the Torah that Hashem gave crowns to Bnei Israel. Each Jew had a keser, had a crown for Naseh, one for Naseh, and one for Nishma. And after they made the Chet HaEgel, Hashem says, take off your tachshit and take off your crowns from your head and give them back. But where did those crowns go? So Chazal tell us those crowns went to Moshe. They were absorbed by Moshe. What does it mean the crowns were absorbed by Moshe? That spiritual essence of every person, each crown represented the spiritual essence who every person was. Moshe absorbed all that spiritual essence, which was portrayed in his face. And you know why he was the greatest leader around? Because he knew each person inside and out. Because he absorbed from their spiritual essence, he knew what every person was all about. And that's what a greatest leader is. A greatest leader, a leader who knows who you are. When you come to advice or you're doing something, he can tell you exactly what's wrong with you, what tikkunim you have to do, and where you have to go in life. That's a leader. So Moshe, when he came down from Har Sinai with his carne or, he was in a perfect position to be a leader of Bnei Israel. Comes along Yisroel and says, Moshe, it's not going to work. Moshe, you're an idealist. If you feel just because you have the potential to be a great leader and you have the power to be a great leader, don't think the people want such a leader. They want such a person who really understands what they're all about, who could really help them. I don't think it's going to work, Moshe. So Moshe says, really, Yisroel? You really believe that? I don't believe that. So Moshe came around and is telling us in Dvarim, he went up to the people and he said to the people, you know, guys, it's a lot of work, 600,000 people and everything. I don't know if I can handle it on my own. Maybe you want some co-leaders? And the people said, yeah, Moshe, let's have some co-leaders, yeah! Moshe It's like, what? Yisro was right. I misunderstood the people. I thought that because Hashem gave me such power to understand each person, I could help each person, I could direct each person, the people themselves would love to have such a leader. But Moshe saw was true. The people weren't interested in one leader. They were interested in a multitude of leaders. Leaders that wouldn't understand them well. Leaders that they could finagle and get away with things. That's what the people wanted. And that's what happened. Once you took away that central command, once you took that starship commander away, and you had people and there wasn't anybody, you had separate commanders and each one was going and doing his own thing. All right, there was a commander that gave general rules. But once people were capable of not being a whole unit, a whole function, then B'nai Israel started its downfall. And where did that downfall end? And the chait of the Meraglim. What happened? So the spies brought back a bad report. So is that the first time you ever heard bad news? Is the first time you ever went to war and heard about the enemy as a strong enemy? You hear it all the time. If you had one central leader, the central leader would say, plain and simple, I heard the good, I heard the bad they said, but listen to the good. Today, Eretz Yisrael is a good place. If Moshe was in charge and it wasn't a mix-up, then he would have been able to tell the people, focus on the good, don't focus on the bad, and with the power of good, we could overcome everything. But what happened? Because the chain of command got diluted. Because the people became hefkeres and became to do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't have the authority of Moshe over them. And they started hearing different things. They didn't hear a united voice. They didn't hear a clear direction where to go. So this rumor started flying and this rumor. And then it became one big mishmash. And everybody started crying in their tents. And they didn't hear the truth. And because they couldn't hear the truth, there wasn't one clear voice to tell them the truth. That was the destruction, and that caused the terrible tragedy of the Meraglim. And that caused us to wander 40 years in the desert, and all that generation had to die out. And that is the unfortunate thing that happens. We find by a terrible tragedy in Jewish history, there was a terrible civil war that went on with the story of Pelegish Begiva. Pelegish Begiva was a case, won't go through the entirety of what happened, but Pelegish was raped and murdered and in the town by a group of unruly people in one of the towns of Giva and Binyamin. And Bnei Yisrael felt they had to make a statement and they had to wipe out the entire town of Giva in order to show what a heinous event this was and totally condemn it. Binyamin didn't feel that way, so they went to civil war. And thousands upon thousands of people died. Almost the entire tribe of Binyamin was wiped out because of it. And the Gemara, the Medrash asks, why did this thing happen? Why did Pelegish Giva happen? Why did such a terrible tragedy happen to Jewish people? And you know what they said? It was the Sanhedrin's fault. The Sanhedrin were to blame because they should have girded their loins with iron rods. You know what gird your loins means? Back then they used to wear very long garments. And if you had to walk far or walk fast, they used to drag on the ground. It prevented you from walking long distances. So what they used to do is pick up their garments and put a rope around it. And that's called girding your loins so you could travel long distances and travel faster. And the Medrash says they shouldn't have used just plain old rope to gird their loins. They should have used metal that would have lasted a long time, a solid metal belt that wouldn't have worn out. And you know what the Sanhedrin should have done? Instead of sitting wherever they were in Shiloh or wherever they were located, they should have gone from town to town to town, preaching the word of Hashem and teaching the people what it means to be a good Jew, what it means to be a moral person. And because they didn't teach the morality that was necessary at the time, the tragedy of the Pelegish Begiva happened, this immorality, and the consequences of this immorality happened. Because there wasn't a central leadership which took control which focus and people listen to. And that's what it said in Shoftim, Kol Ha'isha Yashra Be'einav Yaseh. Every man, what was good in his own eyes, he will do. Unfortunately, today, we are living in a time where there's no clear leadership. This has been going on for many years, for a long time. Everything is fractional. You have different groups. You have this person saying this hashkafa, this person doing that. Even the people from their own group, many people, unfortunately, just give lip service to their leaders. What is a person to do? How do you know the right way, the right path? We don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu today that says, understands the depths of everybody's neshama, who could bring us all together and guide us and focus us. Unfortunately, the Jewish people are fractionated. Unfortunately, we fight with each other. We have a lack of respect for each other. What do you do as a person who wants to find the truth, who wants to go and do the right thing in the eyes of Hashem? Where do you go? What do you turn to? You say, I should be a Litvak, I should be a Hasidish, I should be this one, I should be that, this Ashkafas, I should have Torah Derech Eretz, Torah Mada, Torah and this, Torah and that. What should I do? Where should I go? So do you know what you have to do? The most important thing is, first you have to look within yourself. You have to know who you are. Find out who you are. Don't be a conformist. The worst thing that a person could do is just conform to the crowd and say, there's this big yeshiva out there, everybody goes there, all my friends go there, I'm just going to go to this big yeshiva, get lost in the crowd, and just wear the garb they wear, have the hashkafas what they have, and just be part of something. That's the worst thing you could do, because you're totally forgetting about your identity, and you're totally forgetting about who you really are. You're just taking upon yourself a bunch of hashkafas, a bunch of ideas that you haven't thought out clearly. You don't know why you're doing it. You don't know where you're going or what you're doing. You're like a sheep following the crowd. It takes guts, and it takes innovation, and it takes someone who really wants to find the truth to discover your own inner truth and who you are. And once you see where you're headed for, then you go and look for that group that you feel you should be a part of. You look for that Rebbe that you feel is the one who can give you the best direction and that fits in with who your essence is. And then you learn from these people. You get chaverim. And it doesn't mean to the exclusion of all others, but you develop your theology, you develop your hashkafa, you develop who you are. If all you do is follow the crowd, or even worse, you just don't follow the crowd and you don't do anything, then you're copping out on your life and you're not fulfilling your destiny of who you were meant to be. So therefore, unfortunately, we saw the consequences of what happens to Klal Yisrael without a central leadership. Devastating consequences, and today we're still suffering those effects. We're suffering that Judaism is very fragmented and there's no central authority to turn to. Therefore, now, it is up to the individual to take that honest life search and to take a good look in the mirror and to look at themselves with an unbiased view and say, who am I? What am I? Why did Hashem put me in this world? For what purpose? For what goal? And once we start developing who we are, not what people tell us we have to be, and we find our own unique within the unique place within the Jewish people, our own unique chelik in the Torah, and we go and we work on it, and we go with a Rebbe who could help us develop it. We have chaverim that are like-minded, that will work together. Then we could find our own destiny. We could find our own fulfillment, even if we're in a world which is lacking a central goal and a central leader. So we cannot miss this opportunity. If we don't, Nu'uma Gevar Sheyukam Olad says, how great is the individual who puts upon themselves the yoke of heaven when they're still young, when they still have the flexibility They have the mobility, they have the wherewithal and the strength to change and to grow. No matter what age you are, you could change, you can grow, you could find your direction. But especially when you're young, you have that inner strength, you have that flexibility to find out who you are. Take advantage of it, don't waste it, and most importantly, don't take your life for granted.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.